5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Western Australia is now in a war, the type of war we have never seen before.
Good morning, I'm Jenna Clark. Coming up, I'll speak to one of the authors of a brand new, yet another explosive letter circulated late last night from doctors at a leading West Australian hospital. It is very scary stuff, so stay tuned for that. We'll also ask the AMA's Dr. Andrew Miller if WA is ready for what's to come. Also, you may be feeling anxious. You are absolutely not alone there. And later on the show, from a Perth psychologist, we've got some tips that every person can really use right now.
The West Live.
The West, West Live.
With Jenna Clark.
No gym, no more brunch, no more heading to the pub after work. And as of midday today, the government now moves to flatten the curve of coronavirus. But is it too little, too late? Doctors say it could be too little, too late. And last night, a letter was circulated from 10 of the leading cardiac anaesthetists at Mount Hospital in Western Australia. It's one of Perth's biggest private hospitals, who say they believe that the government isn't acting as quickly as this situation demands. As a combined group, we received a great deal of local and international updates. We're reviewing all of this information and performing our own calculations. Interestingly, they have some points, all written in caps locks. I'll read this to you now. Acting earlier than you think is necessary is key to flattening the curve of coronavirus. If the government doesn't close schools today, please, if at all possible, take your children out now. Do not go to restaurants or cafes or any gatherings or meetings, gym, Pilates, the hairdressers, the podiatrist, the masseuse, or any parties or small gatherings. That means nothing except the barest essentials necessary to sustain life. Just go out for food and medicines. Stay at home. You are a potential carrier. Do not go to hospital for anything other than emergency care. Do not undertake elective surgery unless deemed essential by your doctors. It is, according to this letter, signed by 10 of the leading cardiac surgeons and doctors in WA, essential that everyone does their part. It would be best if you acted now. So please protect yourself and your family. And as they sign off, we want to be a Singapore or a Hong Kong, not a United States. I think this is a fascinating turn of events. As we saw yesterday, another letter was also circulated from other doctors saying that we need 4,000 people, 4,000 ventilators to be up and about to get through this. Dr. Andrew Miller has been tireless and fearless in talking about the need to flatten the curve of coronavirus. Andrew, you've seen this letter. What are your thoughts about the private sector now coming out and having such a strong stance against the government's actions so far?
Good morning, Jenna. To you and to your listeners, this is symptomatic of what's happening across the frontline system at the moment. Doctors are contacting me from everywhere, very concerned, because they're not clear as to whether the implementation of the government is going to be delivered in time to deal with this massive problem. In private at the moment, we need to keep these hospitals functioning.
Yeah.
So doing some elective surgery is okay because we need to maintain a standing nursing presence in the private hospitals so that in a month or two when we need these hospitals to be operational for COVID patients to be ventilated or looked after in other ways, then we need the facilities to be clean and the staff to be ready. And the facilities can't afford to keep staff on. They'll have to retrench them if they stop all work. So it's okay to keep ticking over with some work, particularly urgent things, to keep that all operational. But Dr. Same and the others are absolutely right. The seriousness of the situation, the doctors have appreciated for quite a while. the politicians have slowly started to swing around and understand that when we use words like prepare for war, we're not exaggerating. Mm. But the public is still behind, and seeing stories on the weekend of people being encouraged to go out to pubs and restaurants and things, I can understand where that's coming from, but it's from a mistaken place. We only have 30 to 40 days before we believe that we'll be inundated.
In terms of, I guess, where we go from here, as the doctors wrote in this letter, we're now probably a week behind or two weeks behind where we should be. Is it too late? Are these new measures that the federal government and the national cabinet have instilled from midday today, will they help flatten the curve, do you think?
They'll have an effect. They won't have the same effect that they would have had if we had called on them, you know, when we called on them a few weeks ago to do these things immediately. They would have had a much, much, much greater effect because this thing, you know, ramps up exponentially. But look, we'll take them. Better late than never. It's disappointing that WA is behind the East Coast in introducing these things, because we could have a much better effect doing the things that we know we're going to need to do next week, just do them this week, and we get a massive benefit from doing them earlier.
Yeah, of course. Now, you overnight, you're busy working. You're also trying to be the voice of reason when it comes to coronavirus preparedness. You had some interesting stats in regards to the national pandemic response in regards to testing kits. Now, I understand that Western Australia, and all of this information is readily available to the public, that Western Australia were considered, or you're considering us to be, the poor cousins when it came to receiving the number of kits. Is that correct?
For whatever reason, our testing rate is much lower than it is over east. Whether that's because we have less kits or less reagents, you know, these are words that we're all learning as a population now. I don't know, but I do know that in Queensland they've been doing a lot of private pathology testing, and they have tested 0.62% of their population as of the 19th. New South Wales 0.53, and we're down at 0.34. And what doctors are worried about is that is due to the strict testing criteria there, because we don't have enough testing capability, and we've none in private yet.
Yeah.
But that may therefore mean we have a hidden problem in the community, because these other places are testing and seeing a lot more cases. Therefore, they say, well, we need more kits here because we've got more disease here. But our argument is, well, we might have more disease here, but we haven't been doing the tests. We don't know.
Sure.
And then over, so over east, they look at their numbers from their testing and they go, well, we need to close the schools this week. But in the west, they go, well, we're not quite there yet. Well, how do we know we're not quite there yet? Because we haven't done the testing. So we believe it will be better to move faster, harder, and just give us some breathing space. Because otherwise what we're looking at in about a peak in about probably 70 days' time from our modelling is a disaster scenario. And so it's very important that we pull together this week, get the communication happening, understand what the government are thinking, and that's what we'll be asking for over the next couple of days.
And do you think asking for the schools to be closed will be priority for you this week and the doctors this week, do you think?
Well, all of those things, I think, we've seen what the other states are doing. We just want it to happen now. I think that's almost, that argument's almost done now. I mean, the public accept it. The government are the only ones who just haven't got on board and implemented it when we wanted them to.
Yeah.
So there is frustration in the profession. That's what you're seeing boiling over through these letters. These are very conservative people. These are not publicity-seeking individuals. These are people who come to me in the AMA and say, what can we do? And I say, well, the best thing you can do is actually tell your story, get the word out, not to alarm people, not to panic anyone, but to let them understand truthfully what's happening here as a community, so that we can all together understand the plan. And so really what this week for me is about, what I'm going to be focusing on, is communication and what's going wrong with the communication, because that's going to be key as we approach this challenge together. The doctors are up for the task. The nurses are up for the task. The hospital I'm at this morning, all the talk is about, you know, commissioning ventilators, getting the training done. That's all there, but we need the government to come to the party with the openness and transparency.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Dr. Andrew Miller, you have been the voice of clear, concise communication throughout all of this. So thank you so much for you and your cohorts and all of their work. You make sure you get some rest, and we'll speak to you again soon on the West Live.
Thank you, Jenna. I'm really well supported. All the doctors in WA are behind me, and we will work with the community and we will all be together through it. So thank you so much for your work.
Absolutely. Thank you so very much, Dr. Miller. We'll chat to you again soon. Dr. Steve Same is a leading cardiac anaesthetist at Perth's Mount Hospital, and he also is one of the co-authors of this letter, which I read out previously. Dr. Same, good morning. How are you feeling?
Good morning, Jenna.
How are you feeling about the government response to coronavirus so far?
Well, initially I was somewhat frustrated and angered, but I'm just kind of realised that that is the pace that the government work at for various reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So my personal thing is that the public have to take it more upon themselves to act decisively now, because government, the government machinery just moves too slowly when you're faced with a virus like this.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, like, I mean, personally, last week I was getting very frustrated by about Tuesday that the hospital, our hospital was taking some very good actions and more, they was taking stricter actions than the government were proposing. But to me, it still wasn't enough. And I was desperately trying to keep the private hospital sector clear of virus so it could then form a role in looking after the patients that have normal sort of emergency type things, not virus related, so we can then take that load off the public hospital. But to try and make my point, I sort of said, well, I'm going home and I'm not going to work. I don't want to be seen doing elective cases. I want to keep myself fit and healthy for when I might get called in to look after sick patients requiring ventilation with COVID-19.
That is amazing. I guess that wasn't a very easy call for you to make, because, like you say, you work in the private sector. So you've been self-isolating for a week. And this letter that you, as I mentioned, you were one of the co-authors for last night is fantastic. And I love the way that public have been begging for clear, concise direction. And I think you've really hit the nail on the head with the fact that maybe government machinery moves a lot slower than you being on the front line. So are you hoping that the schools will be closed sooner rather than later?
Look, in the letter, I even allude to it. The school question is a really tough one, because sure, it would be great just to shut them down now, but there's going to be people that are who are needed now or in the near future to look after sick patients in the healthcare industry and other industries. So what I think the public need to do, while the schools are open, I implore them to, if at all possible, quit their non-essential jobs if they have to. Well, that's a bit rash, but maybe try and take time off so they can stay at home and look after their children. And then if we can get a big percentage of children out of schools, then the percentage that are left will be much less. Then they can socially isolate those children and the chance of the spread is reduced dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the school is a bit of a double-edged sword, but I think if everyone in the public does their bit, it will reduce the risk of transmission through the school system dramatically.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you as a citizen did your bit and you self-isolated last week because you know that your work is still yet to come. And we had Andrew Miller on previously. You know, 70 days is probably when this could really kick off in Western Australia. Are you hearing that a lot of other doctors and nurses on the front line are also self-isolating right now?
They haven't got to the self-isolation bit quite yet, but the doctors are all on board on this. When I sent this message out yesterday to all the contacts in my contact list, and a lot of them are my colleague doctors, and they all, not one wrote back with a negative. They all supported it fully.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we just need to get on board. And the other thing, it was interesting, I said to Dr. Miller last week when I saw him at our hospital, I said, you know, congratulations on the stance you're taking. It's fantastic.
Mm.
And he said to me, why is it that all the doctors are congratulating me, but the public or the politicians are sort of abusing me. Oh. So, and this is the problem. And when a friend of mine rang me last week for advice, he said, like, what's going on? Is this really serious? And I said, it is really serious. You need to take notice. And he said, well, I think I'm starting to, because all my doctor friends are telling me to take this incredibly serious. Mm. So I think I am now on board. The advantage that we have, I think, in our group of 10 cardiac anaesthetists is that we get to bounce ideas off each other, and therefore we get to collate all the information that we're receiving, not just from local government and everything, but from contacts overseas. And, for example, my daughter's an anaesthetist in London.
Sure.
And everything we are receiving indicates that this is not good, and we have a sort of just that slim window of opportunity to minimise this as much as possible. I mean, if you've seen the graphs of the rate of rise of infection that I sent out in this email, the countries that have done really well are Hong Kong, Singapore, Japan, and probably Korea. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, because their governments tell them, right, you need to self-isolate. You need to stay at home now. Don't go to social gatherings. Don't go to restaurants. Don't go to cafes. And as a population, they tend to listen. And from long as 3 weeks ago, I said to my colleagues, I think we have a big problem here in Australia, because our Australian kind of ethics and
mentality,
yes, yeah. That's a good word. Our mentality is that she'll be right, and that she'll be right attitude works for us beautifully 99% of the time. But when faced with COVID-19, it is not a good attitude, because everything from other countries is indicating it's not going to be all right, and we need to act now.
Yep. So I guess the key takeouts from this great letter, which we will put up on thewest.com.au shortly after the show, is that even if you are healthy, act sooner than you think is necessary. And if schools don't close today, please, if at all possible, take your children out now. And if you're healthy, don't go to things like restaurants, cafes and other gatherings, because you are a carrier. So just try, and everyone, just rest for a little bit and just see if this we can flatten the curve together.
Exactly. Rest down, because that's the other, people are kind of worried about themselves on the one hand, which I understand, but they're not giving enough concern to, well, say if I get the virus, especially young people who feel they're not going to get sick. Well, they're not taking into consideration, I might get the virus and transmit it on to 4 or 5 other people who transmit it on. Everyone has to play their part.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of playing their part, Dr. Andrew Miller has been a bit of a light on the hill for all of these talks. They're just a week before the Premier decided to close down the borders other than to trade and essential travel. The doctors and him were calling for borders to be closed. Do you support his really strong stance at this point in time?
On the borders?
Oh, no,
aspect, he is right. About 2 weeks ago, one of my colleagues, Dr. Paul Sabia, who's a bit of a mathematical whiz, had done all the mathematical calculations on the expected rate of rise in Australia, and his figures have so far been perfectly accurate. He sent a letter to the health minister then saying, look, these are the figures. We are isolated in Perth. We've got a one-off chance to actually come out better than anywhere else. Mm-hmm. Shut the airports down now.
Yeah.
And he got a very pleasant reply, but of course the action wasn't taken. But Dr. Miller has been, I think, shining light. I'm actually was going to speak to him this week and encourage him to get into politics.
I think he'd get frustrated with the fact that the machinery of government moves too slow Miller.
But maybe he could speed it up a bit.
Yes, indeed. Well, Dr. Saim, thank you so very much for your time and your brave face for self-isolating, taking care of yourself, and also this great letter, which we will get up online so all of us out there can read and start taking some responsibility for our own actions. Take care, and we hope to chat to you again soon on The West Live.
Thanks very much, Jenna.
Thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity.
The West Live. Making news.
Matthew Tinney from Sunrise, good morning.
Good morning, Jenna. Another week.
Another week and some more COVID-19.
Who knows what breaking news stories we're in for.
You had a busy couple of hours since you woke up at 1 a.m, I'm assuming.
It's been really, really, really busy and about to get even busier because the Premier Mark McGowan will be holding a media conference at 9:30, we're told.
Of course, of course. So 12 p.m.
today.
More
to come out of that one.
12 p.m. today, all the fun stops when the Premier acted like, or the Prime Minister is like the dad from Footloose. No dancing, no fun.
It felt a little bit like that. You know when your sibling has done something wrong and then everybody gets punished?
Yeah, yeah. I think
that's effectively what's happened.
Amazing producer Mel showed me this great meme today saying basically like the world has been sent to its room to think about what we've done and we do not like sitting and ruminating on all of our actions, that's for sure.
We're really sorry for taking all of those selfies. We're really sorry everything we did before this. It's going to be a totally different Perth after 12 o'clock today. You know, pubs, clubs, cinemas, entertainment venues, the casino, churches, gyms closed.
Yeah.
Restaurants and cafes can still do takeaway, but some restaurants are closing because they just can't make that work within the rules.
Yeah.
And then these measures they're talking about for at least 6 months and reviewed monthly. But good news is supermarkets and bottle-o's will be staying open and petrol stations.
Yeah, it's
and
actually...
And hairdressers. Are you getting your hair done, Jenna? What's your take on this?
I'm actually quite terrified because I do need a haircut, but now I'm like, just because listening to people like Dr. Andrew Miller and just before we had Dr. Steve Samon as well, I'm thinking, do you know what? I'm going to be I had an absolute hissy fit last night when I heard that the gyms were closing down, but that's just me being very selfish. I think I'm just going to have to ride this through and I'm come out of this looking Amish, and you know that's fine because I haven't had a haircut in a couple of months.
I'm worried I may come out of it looking like Jesus.
Well, considering every day feels like Good Friday right now, then maybe you're kind of on trend.
That is true. The big question, of course, should you send your kids to school? I know you've been covering that this morning. You know, the PM says, yeah, it's okay, you know, if you want to keep them home, but the schools are still open. There is a school that's definitely closed in Perth today.
Yes.
And there's St Andrew's Grammar School in Dianella. Parents of children at the school has tested positive. The school didn't have to close under the health department rules, but it's decided to close the school so it can be disinfected just in case. And, of course, there are reports in West Australia this morning that WA schools are likely to move to online learning for the next term, except students from families of health and emergency workers.
Yeah.
And the board is shutting tomorrow.
Yeah, that's nuts. Unprecedented.
Which is really fascinating. My family is from Melbourne and all over there, and my wife's family, his family's in New South Wales.
Yeah.
And Perth feels really, really isolated now. I mean, we love it here. Our home's great. We're having having a great time in our isolated in our house. But I mean, it's a race against time, really, for people. The cutoff tomorrow, 1:30 p.m. Otherwise, if they're non-essential, they have to go into quarantine for 14 days. And of course, they're looking at using Rotto as a quarantine zone. So if you refuse to self-isolate, you'll be sent to Rotto.
Yeah, hopefully you get a room with a view.
Room with a view, pretty lovely place to see out 14 days, I reckon.
Yeah, I could think of worse places.
And do you know what? I was madly Googling yesterday. Can this virus transmit to animals? Because I was really worried.
It came from animals.
Exactly. Well, there was a dog. I found a dog in China, they weren't sure whether when they did the swab, whether it was just kind of droplets were there. Just anyway, it wasn't that the dog had the virus, so they weren't really sure. But there's a backup population. I know this from Sunrise Stories about quokkas. There's a backup population at Perth Zoo and a backup population at Adelaide Zoo.
They could probably say that the quokkas are probably saying the same about humans. Don't worry, there's backup. There's a backup population somewhere down south and up north. No worries, they'll be fine. They'll be fine. Just leave them alone.
It's the Westlife version, the quokka version. That's what's being reported this morning on Rotto.
100%. Matthew Tinney, enjoy your at-home pump classes and your...
Oh, thank you. They're going all right,
yeah.
Except the room, that our kind of gym room out the back, which is spare room, gym room, and will become an isolation room if necessary, it doesn't have great ventilation. So it feels like Bikram gym classes at the moment.
Well, I look forward to all
of your
updates.
I've got to go to Bunnings to get a fan.
Well, you're ahead of the curve because everyone, Jeff Parry and I were joking about gyms being closed on Friday, and now you've got all the gear because Rebel has completely sold out. So... Well done.
I know. Unfortunately, I have a high-risk person at home for COVID, but that means I'm kind of a week ahead of where everyone else is in preparation.
No, and that is fantastic, and I think we all need to just calm the farm, which is what I definitely need to do in my own mind. So very sensible, and I look forward to, as I said, more, is it Les Mills updates on your Twitter?
Yes, Les Mills.
Yeah.
I can't plug them, but they're great. I really miss all my instructors at Beattie Park. Shout out to Joe, Elaine and Vanessa, but you know, now I get French instructors on the app and all sorts of things.
Love it. Matthew Tinney, thank you so much for your time. Look forward to you hosting the Premier's press conference live on 7 in just a minute.
Thanks, Jenna. We'll chat tomorrow.
Thanks. Thanks, Matt. I'm Jenna Clark and you're listening to The West Live. In a moment, we'll unpack what the federal government's $189 billion surplus package means for you. What will happen to your Centrelink payments? What happens if you lose your job? Do you qualify for assistance? That's all coming up. But first, I'm joined by one of the most amazing leaders of regional Western Australia, if not all of Western Australia, is the leader of the WA Nationals Party, Mia Davies. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. That's quite a welcome. Thank you.
I have been a fan of your, a fangirl of yours for quite some time, so it's lovely to chat to you on The West Live.
Oh, well, it's great to join you, and thank you very much. I really appreciate that. It's an interesting time to be a leader in any community at this point.
Isn't
it? Yourself in the media and others that are communicating to our nation are really important as well. So thank you very much for the opportunity.
You're too kind. Now, speaking of all of the changes that are taking place at the rate of knots at the moment, what's the vibe like in regional Western Australia? Because tonight we're going to see no more pubs, cafes are going to go down to, you know, takeaway. And I grew up in the bush, so I understand that these places are really imperative places of gathering for social functions and a sense of community. How do you think they're going to cope out in the regions?
I think we're all struggling, whether it's metro or regional on that front.
Yeah.
And certainly I've been having conversations with my communities about, you know, even groups like senior citizens or should the tennis club be meeting and those sorts of things. Because if you are already living a relatively isolated existence, if you are from outside a smaller regional community, those kinds of activities are your lifeline and we do rely on them. But at this point, we're not in an ordinary circumstance.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, my advice to everybody is that they really need to heed what the chief medical officers and the PM and the Premier is saying. Mm-hmm. And if it's not necessary, we need to stay home. And then I have great confidence that we will be able to find ways to remain engaged as a community. It's just all very new and everybody's very uncertain at this point. But I'm sure that there will be creative people that will come up with ways to make sure that we stay connected, even if we can't be in the same room and enjoying those activities that we normally do.
Yeah. You wrote a great opinion piece in the West Australian last week, and I guess you sort of outlined the COVID-19 does present a very unique set of challenges for, I guess, all of regional Australia, but I think specifically in regional WA, where a lot of people, especially over east, don't really understand just how remote some of our towns really are. What are some of the issues that you think and you're worried that are going to confront families and businesses around those places in the coming months?
I think first and foremost, and the same with everybody, it's the implications for our health system at this point in time. We were already under pressure in regional Western Australia. We have GP shortages in some areas of the state. We have remote locations that have limited access to regular health services and workers. We have emergency services that are reliant on volunteer workforces.
Of course.
Our St John's Ambulance and also the RFDS, which they're very particular types of skills.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly these are the questions that we're asking for. We're trying to be realistic and we understand that everybody is trying to come up with a plan in terms of the health department and our emergency services. But one of the things we've asked for is that when we do have updates, that we could have a regional specific health state update so that people in regional WA understand that there is a plan for their unique circumstances.
Yeah.
And I think that that would quell some of that nervousness that we are getting fed back into our electorate offices and through leaders of those communities. So the health issue is certainly foremost in everybody's minds at this point. Mm-hmm. But just today we've seen Rex Airlines announcing that they're going to shut down everywhere except in Queensland. Mm-hmm. That means that we have locations in Western Australia that won't have any air links after the 6th of April. And whilst we're not encouraging people to travel around the state willy-nilly, it is still an essential service, and that is something that we will be asking the Premier and the government to urgently consider the implications of and how we might be able to maintain at least a minimal or skeleton service.
Yeah, well, I think there was discussions, wasn't there, last week about how if this all does really impact FIFO workers and things like that, so hopefully they also take that into consideration for people that live in remote areas as well. In regards to, I guess, on the minds of everyone in the city, and we saw the National Farmers Federation take out a kick-off an advertising campaign over the weekend. Food is very important to us here in the city, because if we can't find our meat in our freezer, because some of us don't even know where it comes from, I guess what are farmers doing out there to ensure that we will all be sated in these next couple of months?
Look, I think the very strong messaging from the agricultural sector is that we've got your back. There's not going to be a shortage of food if everyone behaves normally. And as you said before, calms to farm. So there is enough food in Australia. It is challenging at the moment with supply chain and keeping up with demand. That's the challenge. So if we were all shopping relatively normally, we would absolutely be able to manage that. I think there's some concerns from the broadacre sector at the moment. Obviously, we're on the cusp of seeding. They need workers. They need to be able to get feed, chemicals, equipment, and that does require some cross-border movement. And so we're just seeking some clarification that agriculture is indeed an essential service when it comes to movements like that. And certainly our workforce has been impacted because we are heavily reliant on an overseas workforce in many cases, not just from the broadacre sector, but in the horticultural sector. Mm. So we have some amazing growers. You know, you think about our southern forests, guys down around Manji and Pemby, growing beautiful fruit and veg up through the Gingin Midwest area and then into the northwest, Carnarvon and even up into the Kimberley. They are all doing an amazing job and they will continue to do that. But we need to make sure that we are supporting them and we're making sure that they can stay healthy and connected so that we can continue to stock our shelves and supermarkets right across the state.
Yeah.
So we're not going to run out of food, but there will be some logistical challenges if people don't just return to shopping relatively normally.
Yeah. Well, I think that's very sensible information. Mia Davies, thank you so very much for joining us on The West Live. We hope to chat to you in better circumstances in the coming months.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Shortly, we'll have some wise advice that could save your sanity in these very troubling times. But first, let's talk about saving your cash. Joining me is the West Australian's personal finance editor, Neil Pryor. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning.
What is doing in the world of stimulation and stimulus and money?
It's hard to, with ScoMo's announcement yesterday, I mean, from the point of view of people that benefit from it, they're the ones who are most anxious because they have good reason to be. Mm. So it really just comes a question of how much pain it's going to reduce. Mm-hmm. That's the big issue. Everyone's sort of trying to work out. Now I'm looking at the market right now, just trying to understand what's going on. And everyone's grappling around in the dark.
Yeah. Well, basically. I guess the ASX has opened on an eight-year low, which is, I guess, to be expected after such an announcement that we saw last night from National Cabinet.
It is, but then you have stimulus measures coming in and then you had, Wall Street last night hit its, they're predicting another, the futures in the Dow were down another 5% overnight because the US policymakers are basically going, we're not sure what's going to work and what's not going to work here.
Goodness.
So it's scary. It's worrying, but the thing is people need to actually, it's almost as what Mia was saying, just try and have some normality because there's not a lot we can do right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's probably the worrying thing because we're also used to being in control of our own domain, which is very hard. But in regards to the stimulus that was, this fresh stimulus that was announced, I guess Centrelink's probably at the core. Small business is definitely at the core. So who's eligible? Are there wavering asset tests? Is there going to be paid leave for all of us like they're doing in Norway and potentially flouting in the UK?
there'll be some. I mean, the main thing I've been focused on is the old the pensioners issue, where they are going to get some boost.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking $20-$30 a fortnight.
Yeah.
That's going to be there's going to be measures there to calm that in. There's limited measures for the working poor, I guess. That's a challenge right now. Is that things need to be focused on the pensioner end and the end, but the anxiety is still deeply amongst casual workers about their areas.
Yeah,
it doesn't seem it's what the worry is right now is that end of the economy, which is the most vulnerable, still the most vulnerable.
Yeah. I think it's going to be interesting to see once midday clicks over today where restaurants, cafes have to go takeaway, gyms close, pubs close. Do you think that National Cabinet are probably waiting to see where the dust settles before they move on with, because like they've said and a number of small business owners have spoken about, yeah, this is great, this is the second stimulus announcement, but where's the third, where's the fourth, where's the sixth to make sure that we're still there in 6 months?
Well, you can't necessarily put out stimulus. I mean, what I think the Prime Minister was arguing yesterday is that until you know where the damage is going to be, you can't put the stimulus out. Like down in the local deli near my place, yes, there's probably half the numbers there, but people were down there, looked like to me, deliberately buying.
Yeah,
there's a good, really good cafe out around the corner from my joint in Dianella, and it's basically there were people coming there at 7 o'clock to buy stuff.
Yeah.
And it wasn't panic buying. It was just people just could see buying the extra coffee and buying extra stuff. So you may actually find that elements of, like, I'm still employed. I've still got my job. My wife's still got her job.
Yep.
So I've got money coming through the door. So I actually feel at times like this is my responsibility.
Yeah, absolutely.
As much as possible to batten down, but also try and spend normally to some degree.
Mm.
I think, and so Mr. Morrison is not going to know. He doesn't have the information. He's not some magician that can go, oh, my golly, gee, I can tell you this sector's going to feel the pain in 2 weeks. He doesn't know.
Yeah.
No one knows.
It's the great unknown. Well, you have helped us make a little bit of sense of this heads and tail, Neil Pryor. We'll probably chat to you again later in the week as this news continues to shake out. Thanks for your time.
Cheers, mate. Bye-bye.
Coming up, the AFL is over after just one round. So what happens now? Mark Reddings will explain shortly. The footy would have been nice to take our minds off COVID-19, as I would have a yoga class, I would imagine, with a couple of people today. But there are other ways to curb your anxiety. Dr. Marnie Lishman, tell us how we can all calm our farms in this crazy time.
I know. It's difficult times. And the thing is, our brain is wired to go to the worst case scenario all the time. So it'll kind of really pull in all the information that's really fearful and that makes us really stressed and anxious. So I think what we need to do is kind of override that consciously and never underestimate the power of distraction right now and doing things on purpose that you know make yourself personally feel good.
Yes.
And it might be walking the dog. It might be really kind of nutting down and just working really hard from home. Yeah. It might be cleaning the house more. It might be talking to your friends. Like it might be doing jigsaws or art. Like purposefully do the things, even if your mind is wandering to the worst case scenario, to something that you know will make you feel positive right now.
Oh, that actually makes me feel calmer this morning, actually. I guess the last couple of days have probably been the tipping point for a lot of people because a lot of we're being told that as of midday today, things, life as we know it, will definitely change a lot. What are you doing yourself? And have you got kids at home that are panicking a little bit?
Yeah, I have two kids and they're both in high school and I have dropped them off this morning because the school's not closed yet.
Sure.
And I predominantly work from home anyway. Mm-hmm. So I know I've been doing this for like five or more years working full-time predominantly from home. And doing that, you have to kind of, like, I feel like I've transgressed over the years and had to learn how to not be anxious, remain calm and collected and be really productive. So a lot of the things that I do write about in staying mentally healthy is often just those little small things, you know, like taking a break, remaining connected. Or it doesn't mean that you have to, you know, do years worth of therapy to start feeling better right now. It's all in those little things. It's all in those having those conversations and those little short, sharp conversations to keep you calm, your kids calm. These are all the things that are going to help us right now.
Yeah. Do you think in terms of making sure that you download, you know, maybe a yoga app or some mindfulness, that's probably key today?
Oh, yeah. Anything that you could do that keeps your head right now in the present moment, because otherwise your mind will wander off into the future and imagine something that doesn't exist yet. Sure. And that's what's frightening people at the moment. Yeah. So things like yoga and meditation, there's so many free things that you can do. And also on the other flip side of that is some supporting those small businesses like your local meditation group and your yoga and your Pilates studios, who are, a lot of them are moving online. Mm-hmm. So you can still support your small community, but also learn to stay in the present moment and do it all from home. You can remain connected.
You can remain calm and you can remain connected. We just have to stay present. Thank you so very much, Dr. Marnie Lishman, for making that so concise. We'll chat to you soon again on The West Live. Coming up on The Wild West with Ben O'Shea, who's back for another week, the WA business turning wine into, not water, but the most valuable commodity on earth right now, hand sanitizer. Mark Reddings, I felt like a tear needed to drop when we heard that, because that's probably the last time we're going to hear a siren in a couple of months.
Just listening to the doctor. Good morning to you, Jenna, and our listeners. Yes, talking about meditation, I think most of us with no footy will be self-medicating between now and whenever it returns. So we think 2 months, and it was really weird. I was at Optus Stadium yesterday commentating the game for 6PR, and it was just a bizarre feeling. The players knew already before the game started that the round was and the season in effect was being put on hold after their match, so it just had a very strange feeling to it. And now even just news coming through, Brisbane Lions players have been told they'll be put on leave without pay for now. The AFLPA, the Players Association, working through that, and the Gold Coast Suns football department staff have been stood down immediately. These are just some of the cost-cutting measures that are going to be taken by clubs, including the Dockers, who last night sent out a message to their members saying, because of the cost-cutting required, this is very much a matter of survival. And they're a club that's they had some losses last year financially, but they're one of the more financial clubs, not in the same rankings as West Coast and Collingwood, Richmond, but this is where we're at. And this is only 24 hours into what we hope is going to be no more than 2 months, but deep down it could be a lot worse.
Yeah, and I think the really troubling thing for footy fans that we should know, we kind of forget, sure, these footy players, especially in the lower tier, like they're not earning a bucket load of coin, but the fact that they also have to stay kind of away from each other, you can't exercise in a group fitness environment anymore, like this must have a, this will have a massive impact on their mental health and performance, surely.
Yeah, the parameters of the AFL and what's happening there, and then as you say, through the lower grades. Look, I've got to point out the AFLW, you really have to feel for the Fremantle Dockers ladies. They had such a big win. Baz and I called that game on Saturday afternoon, and it was a great buzz. But and this is not in hindsight, I said to Trent Cooper as we left the ground, the coach just, it was obviously empty, the ground. I said, mate, why did we not play at the very least the prelim finals today, try and get the grand final happening midweek? Because you just knew it was closing in on you in terms of having sporting events. I think the AFL, with all due respect on this decision, made a blue. They should have had the grand final on the weekend, Fremantle versus North Melbourne. Again, that's just hindsight, but at the time I felt, to give another 2 or 3 weeks, you could tell it was never going to get that far. That being said, the NRL, Rugby League, at this point, are pressing on with their season.
They are digging in their heels, aren't
they? They are. And look, the reason the AFL has shut down in many parts because of the South Australian border lockdown, and of course WA, so you can understand we're a truly national competition at this point with Queensland and New South Wales. You know, the Melbourne Storm are there, but they have a bit more leniency, but it's not a good look. It's not a good feel.
I couldn't get over, and for listeners that are not familiar with the new chair, Peter Volandis, he came from Racing New South Wales. He's a bit of a firebrand. He's a fire starter. He likes to kind of, you know, poke the bear when it came to Melbourne Cup and things like that and potentially moving it to Sydney. And when he sat there yesterday in that press conference and said, but we may be able to flout the rules of border lockdowns because we're not using commercial flights, you kind of think it's a bit rich when you're saying that you want a part of that $17 billion surplus when you're chartering flights.
Taxpayers' money.
For teams.
Yeah, I think the end of the day, rugby league will join the rest of us in shutting down their sport. But it's just it's where we're at the moment. And for the AFL, you wonder about the job losses, you wonder about the players. And you know what? It's going to be a lot of, we're just talking about Channel 7. It's about what content can we now produce. I'm about to go and have a chat to a couple of people. Can we do a retro type look at some of the games from yesterday.
Just replay all the grand finals, and then we get to like 1952, and we're like, guys, we've got nothing left.
I agree, we run out of material. But that's where, well, hopefully we never go through this again, Jenna. But it's where we're at. Footy is in hiatus until at least the end of May, and. Fingers crossed that people do the right thing with the social distancing and the hygiene, that we can somehow keep this virus at bay. And look, I know maybe I'm in fairyland, but let's hopefully see a footy season which extends even into November.
Oh, I would love it. Imagine a Christmas Eve prelim. Oh, it'd just make life
complete. Melbourne Cup on a Tuesday, footy on a Friday.
Oh, you've given me hope. but one before we let you go, Olympics, what do you think they'll call?
Oh, it's definitely off for this year, in my mind. I can't see it happening. I think a good alternative, it's been put forward by several authorities around the world, several athletes saying, can we put it back to July 2021? That's not a bad result. Infrastructure's there. Japan will do a great job. Hopefully we're on top of the coronavirus, but it will not happen this year. If they do, they can't do it. It's just about done and dusted, and I think we all know that that's the right decision.
Absolutely. Mark Reddings, thank you so very much for giving us a little bit of optimism at the end there.
Only a little bit.
You take care of yourself. I'll take care of myself, and we'll see you later in the week.
Look forward to it.
Thank you.
Flashpoint. On Flashpoint, your coronavirus questions answered by doctors, specialists, the government, the facts from the experts. How quickly will cases escalate? Will you be forced to homeschool your kids? Will we run out of soap? Flashpoint. Monday, 9 p.m. on 7.
I'm Jenna Clark, and you're listening to The West Live. Let us know how you're feeling. If you just need to have a chat, slide into our DMs at The West Australian, or send us an email at thewestlive@wanews.com.au. Just send us your tips. Where are you still getting coffee to pick up from? Where are you doing yoga? Have you found any cool apps to use? We would love to hear all of those recommendations, and we will share them when we can.
The Wild West.
I needed that whip crack this morning to snap me out of it. Ben O'Shea, good morning.
Good morning. I think from what I'm hearing this morning, I think a lot of Western Australians need a bit of a whip crack.
I know.
Whip crack. Because it's like, from what I'm hearing, there are cafes around town that are chockers this morning.
Oh,
people trying to get in one last brunch. Oh. People trying to get one last workout in.
I did
like,
this morning.
Oh, Jenna.
That's why I was late.
Oh, my goodness. You're part of the problem.
Well, that we practiced very responsible social distancing. Everyone was 2 metres apart. It was a Pilates class. It wasn't a lot of sweat.
Oh, that's okay. Like, I think if it's a Pilates class where you're in your own space, that's different, I think, than if you're going and using a whole bunch of equipment and, like, you know.
And moving around.
Yeah, moving around. I think that's, okay. You get a pass from
Thank
me.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, apparently, what's going on down in Marg? Someone has decided to turn their brilliant wine into hand sanitizer.
Yeah, look, this is the biggest miracle since Jesus
you turned water look into like Jesus. Wine. Your hair's longer,
Well, I've got to get a head start on Tinny because now I know that what he's going for. So the award-winning Wise Winery.
Oh yes.
So they're you know one of the big names in WA winemaking down there in Eagle Bay, and they started a distillery a little while ago, and they've been making a Pisco, which is a South American spirit that's used in Pisco sours. That's kind of like the famous thing. And so maybe the market for that is kind of dipped a little bit, but they've realised that there's much bigger market at the moment for hand sanitizer. Mm. So the ethanol that they've been distilling from grapes to make Pisco, they're now going, do you know what? We can use it to make hand sanitizer. 70% ethanol hand sanitizer, which is lab quality hand sanitizer. They've partnered with a pharmacy. They've distributed a quantity for free to schools in the area.
Oh, that's good.
And they're going to be selling the stuff via their website. It's $15 bucks for a 200ml bottle and $55 for a 700ml bottle. But the great thing about this is because they're also a winery, when you go online to buy your hand sanitizer, you can buy a couple of bottles of Plonk as well.
It's genius.
Yeah.
Oh, get amongst that.
Get amongst it. And it comes in, because there's a shortage of plastic containers, they're selling it in their spirit bottles. So it's also the fanciest looking hand sanitizer that you will ever see.
I think hand sanitizers are going to become the new candles at home. Like, you have to lay them out everywhere in every room.
And I feel like if you have a 700ml bottle of Wise antivirus hand sanitizer, that is like the ultimate flex in 2020. Just have it on your mantelpiece and it's just like,
Welcome to my abode, which you're coming through via Skype until further notice.
That's right.
Oi, oi, oi. Now, this makes me very sad. Yeah. Kalgoorlie.
Kalgoorlie. Well, whenever there's a disaster, no one thinks about how it will impact the skimpies.
This true. And I was going to say Kalgoorlie, but sure, that's an interesting place.
That's right. Well, and with the closure of the pubs and the sort of the reduction in the amount of business they've been getting recently, the Skimpies are leaving town. Yep.
Where are they going to go?
Well, there's nowhere that they can go, unfortunately. But it's because there's a rise in businesses turning online, that's a market that is already pretty well established for skimpy sort of behaviour.
This is good. I remember you wrote a piece about a year ago about a specific website called, is it OnlyFans?
OnlyFans, where you can sell content online. It's a subscription website, so you can charge whatever you want, $2 a week, $100 a week, and then you share your content, whatever that content is.
Mm-hmm.
It could be teaching people to play the guitar, or it could be
teaching people to play the guitar nude.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Sure. Which I actually do that. Look up at Ben O'Shea on OnlyFans. No, no, don't do that.
Well, that is really sad because I know that a lot of those women have been having a really hard time because of the downgrade. No one carries cash anymore.
Yeah, that's
so they were also being forced to carry around little PayPass tiles.
Yeah.
And when you have nowhere to stick them, you're not going to make a lot of money.
No, it has been tough. And I think times have changed.
Yeah.
And we thought, probably most people thought that, the days of skimpies were over anyway.
Mm.
But now, COVID-19 could be the thing that finally brings an end to the skimpies in Kalgoorlie.
Well, it could be a win for women's rights. Who knows? But until then, I mourn the pub's been closed, but hopefully we flatten the curve.
Yeah, flatten the curve. I think everybody should be focusing on that right now.
Absolutely.
The next week is super critical.
It is. Thank you for speaking sense into my brain, as per usual. Ben O'Shea, thank you so much for joining us on The Wild West. We'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Well, that's it from me. As I said, we'll be back tomorrow from 8:45. Tune in live over on thewest.com.au/live or catch up on the pod whenever you get a chance. We're on Spotify, iTunes and Google whenever you can. Have a great day.
You've been listening to The West Live with Jenna Clark. If the story behind the story matters to you, then you can count on thewest.com.au to deliver.
It's the podcast that has Australia captivated. Claremont, The Trial. We take you inside the courtroom with over 3 million downloads already. Catch up on Claremont, The Trial at thewest.com.au or where you get your podcasts.